Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. Church, today we serve a living God. Amen. And the Spirit of God is here this morning. And whenever the Spirit of God is moving, we have a decision to make. We can either be closed or we can open ourselves up and say, God, I want all of you that I can have this morning. Amen. Here's what Jesus said about his Holy Spirit. He said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Rivers of living water will flow from within them. And we can close ourselves off to those rivers of living water, or we can open up and say, God, fill me, refresh me, clean me, cleanse me, Lord. So right now, let's just take a moment and say, come, Holy Spirit. Flow like living water. Flow like living water. And may rivers of living water flow into your life right now. Open your heart to the Lord. All that God has for you. Just say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. Living water, come and fill me. Come and fill me and transform me, God. Hallelujah, Lord. God, I don't want to be closed. I want to be open. I want all of you that I can receive. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's wait. Wait upon the Lord. Let him fill you this morning. Hallelujah, God. Oh, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, we worship you. You are worthy, Lord. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You're so awesome, God. Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, God. Oh, we worship you. Give you thanks. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, this morning we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, God, that this is holy ground. Lord, we pray this morning as we open your word, we pray that the life-giving power of your word, God, would transform us and change us, God, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. All right. Hey, why don't you, All right. Go ahead and be seated. God bless you. Amen. Let's say a big thank you to our worship team. Man, they bless us so much. All right. This guy's probably not going to be very happy for me doing this to him this morning. But Tristan Holmes, would you stand up this morning? This young man, some of you know Tristan, but this young man was just recently selected as an academic All-American and an athletic All-American. There's only 22 people in the entire nation that receive that recognition. And so I just wanted it because not only is Tristan excelling in sports and in academics, he's just a great young man. And he has recently been accepted to the dental school at OHSU, and he'll be starting that in the fall. And just loves the Lord, very consistent in being here in the house of God. And Tristan, your church is really, really proud of you. We really are. So, yeah, good job. Yeah. I mean, athletic, smart, going to be a dentist, probably rich. I mean, some guys, they just make you sick, don't they? Just, yeah. Well, let's open God's Word this morning. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Galatians, a couple of books over. Galatians chapter 5. And today we're concluding the series that we've been doing called Living Beyond. And we've been talking about how God, by His Holy Spirit, empowers us to live a life way beyond our own ability. And we've been doing this in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, these character qualities that describe who God is, and they also describe who God wants us to be, and then encourages us by saying, well, the Holy Spirit is going to empower us to live this way. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, that's where we were last week, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So guess what we're talking about today? Self-control. Your favorite topic, right? Self-control, all right? Ushers, close the doors. Don't let anybody out. Yes, self-control. The truth is, we kind of have a love-hate relationship with self-control. I mean, sometimes we just feel like we hate self-control, and we feel like doing what we feel like doing, right? But then, about an hour after consuming that entire gallon of chocolate peanut butter ice cream, we are saying to ourselves, why didn't I have more self-control, right? And so some of us this morning, maybe we already feel like, man, Tim, I really have no self-control. Some of us might be thinking, well, actually, I do have pretty good self-control. I mean, I am 90% of the time I've got good self-control, but that other 10% is really getting me, right? And so the very fact that self-control is listed as the fruit of the Spirit here tells us that without the Holy Spirit, we all lack self-control, that we need the Spirit of God to give us this self-control thing. It also tells us that self-control is actually a spiritual issue. Now, there are some people that just naturally kind of have more self-control. They're very determined. They have a very strong will. And these are very strong forces, very powerful. But they don't tell the entire story because there's a spiritual element to self-control that we can't ignore. So this morning, we're going to go back in the scriptures and we're going to do a little biblical history of self-control. All right, and so we're going to start at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, where God creates Adam and Eve. God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. So we hear, we see right away that we are created by God. We're created in the image of God, and because we're created in the image of God, Adam and Eve were created with a free will. Okay? They had a free will because they're created in the image of God, who has a free will. All right? So from the very beginning of time, mankind was created to have a free will. But there was one moral choice Adam and Eve were faced with. Remember, God put all kinds of trees in the garden. In the midst of the garden, the Bible says God put a tree called the tree of life, and Adam and Eve were free to eat from any of these trees, including the tree of life, as much as they wanted, whenever they wanted. But there was one tree that God put in the garden that was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was this one tree that they were not to eat the fruit from. One moral choice that they were faced with, and as we know, they blew it, right? And they failed at the one the one choice they failed miserably. So when they did that, the divine image of God that God had imparted to them was greatly damaged by the choice that they made. And from this point on, rather than being led by the divine nature that God had given them, Adam and Eve and their descendants after them would be led by a fallen nature and a sin-infested nature. So now, instead of free will, human beings have a sin-damaged will. This is why we struggle with self-control. You see, it really is a spiritual battle. So because people are created in the image of God, everybody has a sense of right and wrong, good and evil. But because we have a sin-filled nature, we are incapable of choosing good all the time. We just don't. So Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other." So if you don't understand this verse and get a hold of this verse, you'll never understand your life. You'll never understand the battles that you're facing in life. It's right here. How many of you could just, you know, say, "Amen, I know what that verse is talking about," right? Yeah, the flesh and the spirit, they're at odds with one another and conflict with one another. So there are three things that pull us away from self-control. There's the flesh, as described here, and the flesh doesn't necessarily mean just the physical body. It means our old nature, right? Our pre-Jesus nature. Okay, the sinful nature that is at war with the spirit. And then another thing that is pulling us away from self-control is actually the devil. The devil and his army of demons, they're constantly at work in people's lives trying to pull us away from what God has for us. Jesus said this. He said, "The thief," that is the devil, "comes to kill and steal and destroy. But," he said, "I have come that they might have life, abundant life." So the devil is involved in all of this. And then thirdly, the third force that's pulling us against self-control is actually the world. And when the Bible talks about the world, it's, again, not necessarily talking about the people in the world. It's talking about the forces and philosophies and worldview that control so many people's lives. And so between the flesh, the devil, and this pull of the world, there's all of these things pulling us away from self-control. James chapter 2, rather in verse 1 in the Message version, says this: "My dear friends, don't let public opinion influence how you live out your glorious Christ-originated faith." Wow. Don't let public opinion pull you away from Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Right. Because public opinion is being influenced by the devil. And sadly, there's too many Christians being influenced by public opinion. Right? And so these things, they are pulling us away from self-control. So when people say things like, "Tim, I'm my own person. Nobody tells me what to do. I'm the captain of my own destiny. I did it my way. I'm following my heart." These people really don't know what they're talking about. Because without the redemptive power of Jesus Christ working in our lives, free will, self-determination, self-control are a myth. It is impossible to have true self-control without Jesus Christ working in our lives. You can try all you want, not going to work. It is through the power of Jesus Christ and His Spirit at work in us that we can have self-control. So perhaps you're here this morning and you're like, "Man, Tim, I am always making a mess of things in my life. I'm always making really bad decisions. I give in to temptation way too easily. I want you to know, yeah, none of that's good, but I want you to know God still loves you. He still loves you. I want you to know there's hope. There's hope for you. I don't want you to give up. I want you to know this. Our failures do not change who we are in Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. Our failures do not change who we are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah, no, we don't want to keep on making the same mistakes over and over again. That's true. But I want you to know, even at your worst, God still loves you and you're still his child. Right? So our failures do not determine who we are in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I've got good news for you today, and here it is, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. All right? He's rescued us from the dominion, all right? Dominion means rulership, reigning over us. The dominion of darkness that we were once under before Jesus came into our life. That dominion of darkness has been broken, and the Lord has brought us in to the kingdom of light. Come on, church. Right? We are no longer under the rule and reign of the enemy. Stop seeing yourself as some sinning slob that has no power in your life and no authority in your life, and stop seeing yourself as a victim and start seeing yourself the way the Bible describes you. The Bible says you are chosen and you are redeemed and you are forgiven and you've been raised from death to life. You are no longer under the dominion of darkness, but you're a citizen of the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. You're a child of God now. And this is why a lot of people continue to struggle with this idea of self-control, is because they don't understand that we are victorious through Jesus Christ. We're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. See, this is what the devil doesn't want you to know, but God wants you to know. The devil doesn't want you to know. He doesn't want you to get a hold of who you really are. But God wants you to know who you really are through Jesus Christ. Come on. Guys, I'm preaching better than you're amening right now. I got to admit it. Jesus said, "He who the Son sets free is free indeed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, how do we continue to walk in this power of self-control that God has given to us? How do we continue to grow in that and walk in that, okay? I'm going to give you three things. First of all, know who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. And we're going to come back to that one in a minute. But knowing who you are in the Lord. Number two, saturate your mind and heart with the truth of God's word. The way we counteract the lies of the enemy is with the truth of God's word. So saturating your heart and your mind. Listen, guys, the Bible is not like any other book that's ever been written. There's actual life in the Word of God. And that life is imparted to us as we spend time in the presence of Jesus, spend time in the Word of God. Listen, there is no substitute for you and Jesus sitting down with his Word together. No substitute. I thank God for all the great things we have in the church today. Man, I thank God for the great Christian music that we have and the radio stations that we have and the television that we have. I thank God for all the tools that are available to us. But nothing, guys, substitutes for you and Jesus sitting down with his word and spending time together. Life is imparted by the word of God. Letting the word of God change your heart, change your mind. This is going to develop self-control. It's going to give you power to resist the devil and power to say no to temptation and to say yes to righteousness. Yeah. And then number three, continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't say to yourself, well, I got filled with the Holy Spirit already. Well, fine, that's great, that's wonderful. Thank the Lord for that. But you need to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Continue to say, God, I need more of you in my life. Amen? Yeah. So right now, we're going to take these three things, and we're just going to put them into practice. Know who you are in Christ. Saturate your mind and heart with the Word of God. We're going to do that, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. So I'm going to ask you all to stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's what we're going to do this morning. A few years back, I wrote a number of faith declarations, and these declarations of faith are something that we use as part of the Freedom Course, and they're a series of true statements from God's Word, and each one of them is accompanied with a scripture. There is power, guys, when we declare the Word of God with our mouths. In Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart God raised him up from the dead, and you shall be saved. So there's something about declaring the Word of God out loud, all right? And so we're going to take a moment right now to read through these series of statements. We're going to read them out loud together. And remember, as we read these, it's God's Word, so don't let it dribble off your chin. All right? Read these things with force and boldness today, okay? Declarations for victory, all right? Here we go. Number one, God has chosen me to be a part of his plan to redeem his creation. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Wow. God has uniquely shaped my life to represent his goodness in this world. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I am completely free of shame and condemnation. My past is in the past. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am free from every sin, power, curse, and stronghold. John 8:36. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Satan has no authority over my life. Say that again. Satan has no authority over my life. James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. My mind is surrendered to the dominion of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. My soul finds rest and peace in Jesus. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Are we on the next one yet? Okay, there we go. God has completely forgiven me, and I am free to completely forgive those who have offended and wounded me. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. God has empowered me to be victorious in every situation. Philippians 1:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Even the trials that I face will only serve to make me better. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good, for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I have faith to move mountains. Matthew 21:21-22. Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you asked for in prayer. And then the last one, God loves me deeply, and he will never give up on me. Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you lift your hands up to the Lord this morning? Just lift your hands up to God right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you that even though the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, you have come to give your people abundant life. Abundant life. And so, Lord, right now, we pray, God, those of us in this place, we've struggled with self-control. God, I pray that we will understand, God, that we are not the people we used to be. That you have set us free. You have set us free. You have set us free. Say it right now. Lord, you've set me free. You've set me. I am free. I am free. I am free. I am free in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name, give the Lord another praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.